from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals! Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy! It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 and a home run by the Wizard! Go crazy! Swinging a long one into left field. Adios, goodbye, and maybe that's the winner. A three-run homer by Clark, and the Cardinals lead by the score of 7-5, and they may go to the World Series on that one, folks.
What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Welcome to That's a Podcast. That's a Winter Podcast. 2 weeks in a row, or two times in a row. That's a Winter Podcast. I'm Ryan. Over there is Josh. Got you hooked up, ready to go. I don't know where we're streaming to tonight. Chris on Cardinals Nation 24/7 is trying to get us into the groups and try everything else. Chris is a little under the weather, so he's trying to help us out, even though he's not feeling so good. We've been trying this new screen where you hold your phone and you look at us. Let us know if you hate it or love it. We can change it and go back to the old style, or we can kind of do this if you like this view a little better. Josh, welcome. The last couple weeks have gone a way that some would say they did not expect, or some would say they expected exactly what we've seen. I have been preaching since last season that the Cardinals' problems are going to be hitting, because this team is very streaky. If you listen to me on the radio, I was on the radio in Washington, Indiana, Vincennes, Indiana, and Ligoti, Indiana on Saturday on a couple different stations. And they asked me, what about this team that I saw? And what I saw, is it aging players or streaky players? And that's kind of what the conversation is going to be tonight. Again, Josh Brown joins us now. Josh, is it streaky? Is it aging? Is it both?
It might be both. Which is scarier than just picking either option. Yeah. I mean, every offensive statistical category you look at, we're at the bottom. Runs scored 27th, barely above the Washington Nationals and the Oakland Athletics. Hits, same thing, right? Toward the bottom, 27th. I mean, you can go through everything. Home runs, I don't even want to look at that. 29th. Ew. 29th out of 30th. We've got more than the White Sox. We were 3-22.
I was going to say, 22. They have three wins, yes.
Yeah, the Miami Marlins have four more home runs than we do. You want to take a guess at how many home runs we have as a team right now?
17.
I was very close. 16.
Oh, wow. That was
White Sox have 14. It's, I mean, it's just not, you know, I mean, batting average, everything. Batting average of 26. On base percentage, we are 24th. I mean, bottom of the barrel and just about everything. Slugging 28th. I mean, that's the thing that's been most alarming to me, is the power. It's just gone. There's no power really from anybody. Gorman's gotten, he had a good series against the Diamondbacks. He's heated up a little bit, but no one else is showing any power. Like, not even doubles. I mean, Arenado's hitting over 300, but it's singles. There's no doubles. Nobody's getting any extra base hits. Nobody's getting timely hits, save Gorman's big walk-off home run the other day. Like, it's just, Newt's had a couple of, he's come in and has a couple of timely hits, but the offense has just looked just terribly bad. And all credit to you. You've been saying this since February. Like, I don't know if
it may
it's
have been
the same offense
it may
as
be
last year.
Last season when I said, we need to go out and get some hitters. I was a big proponent of getting Bellinger to play center field. I love Tommy Edman. I can't wait for Tommy Edman to be back. But I said then, and I'll say now, I still don't think Tommy Edman is a center fielder. Obviously, the St. Louis Cardinals don't believe that Lars Nootbaar has any business being in center field, because they keep on running out 084 batter and Victor Scott, and then Ciani, who has, I think, two career hits, something like that. So they obviously have no trust in Lars Nootbaar to play center field. Or would you rather see Lars play center field and then have some more options to play around him? But they just sent Walker down as well, because Walker can't hit. It's an epidemic of inability to hit, and I really do think it is a streaky team, but you can't really succeed with a streaky team, because this team can go off and win 17 straight games like they did like 2 years ago, Like this offense, you're missing Tyler O'Neill and maybe Dylan Carlson a part of that as well. But like this, the streakability of the team is still the same. But that also means they can also put up an average of 3 runs a game and lose 10 straight at the same time. That is not a winning formula for a team to be successful in the long run. That team can get really, really hot and win you some playoff games and win you some playoff series.
But will they even get to the
playoffs? But you got to be able to get to the playoffs to be able to have that kind of thing to catch fire.
Yeah, it's I mean, I think the general mood, right? It's funny on Twitter. We kind of talk about the vibes on Twitter. That walk-off home run with Gorman, you thought, okay, like maybe they're going to wake up. And then you get just blasted 14-1 the next day. And you know, they win the series yesterday with a 5-1 win. Gibson was fantastic. Like, great. Great to see the pitching. Starting pitching has been much better than I thought it would be, which obviously was the biggest issue last year. But, man, this offense, yeah, it's just I don't have a lot of it sucks to feel like kind of losing some interest already. We're not even into May. I mean, we're 5.5 games out. And that's not nothing, you know, coming up toward the end of April. We can talk about how the other teams are doing, but the Brewers, I don't know how they keep winning games. We were talking about this earlier. They have no one. They have William Contreras.
That team is way overachieving currently. And I would rather be overachieving with a team that I wasn't expected to be good than underachieving with a team you're supposed to be good, right? But they are overachieving for what they have. And I'm not sure why I haven't really dove into the numbers. Maybe you have a little bit, but I haven't really seen why they're overachieving. They're just probably playing good baseball in general.
The Brewers are fourth in all of baseball in slugging percentage.
So
they're hitting for some power. I don't know who all is. They're third. They're tied for third in the majors with home runs. It's the Orioles 37, Red Sox 33, and then the Dodgers and Brewers 31. So they've got some guys hitting home runs. I mean, William Contreras, Christian Yelich started off hot. He's on the 15-day, 10-day IL right now. I know Reese Hoskins is hitting some home runs for them. They've got a couple of young guys, right? Some prospects maybe they're doing better than I thought. Their offense has been way better than I thought it would be. But their starting pitching has too, and I just don't. I mean, I haven't dug into that, but it's surprising to me because no more Corbin Burns.
Right.
No more Brandon Woodruff. I mean, they've got Freddie Peralta. That's the one guy I can think of. They're eighth in all of baseball on team ERA, 3.42. The 3.42 ERA, that's all of baseball. In the NL, they are second in the NL with a 3.42 team ERA. Doesn't get much better than that. So you can kind of see on the back of what they're winning right now is their pitching, which is what it's been in the past when they had a legit Cy Young, you know, leader, and then Freddie Peralta, and then Brandon Woodruff, like a legit three. They don't have those other two now. They don't have Hader in the bullpen. They don't have Devin Williams, who's injured for several months right now. Their closer, they're two big closers. That's the other thing. I know no one in their bullpen. I don't know any of their starters outside of Freddie Peralta. I have no idea how they're doing this. So maybe they regress to the means, right? It wouldn't surprise me. We've seen the Pirates start off hot before they started off hot the first week of this year. They were like 7 or 8-0, and they've fallen back out. So it could just be a hot start for them. I haven't looked at their schedule. Maybe they've had an easier schedule early on. We can talk about the Cubs as well. I'm looking at them here. They are sixth in the National League in team ERA, so they've been doing pretty well on the pitching side as well. But it is frustrating as a Cardinals fan to look at two teams like that, right? The Cubs don't have their ace right now. Justin Steele's been hurt pretty much the whole month. He got hurt after his first start. The Brewers, we just talked about, a lot of guys gone right now from that team in the past and injured right now. And they're finding ways to get it done. Like, we've got Edmund and we've got Carlson out. That's it. Our bullpen's intact. They've been fantastic. We could definitely talk about them. Definitely the bright spot of this team. Starting rotations in there. No one's hurt on the pitching side for us. And our only players out are Carlson and Edmund. You can argue, I mean, it's not nothing. But comparatively to what the Brewers and the Cubs have missing, like, how are they finding ways to win games and we aren't?
Yeah, because adding Edmund and Carlson is not going to change this offense very much. Edmund is not a great on-base guy anyways. Doesn't hit a lot of home runs. He's a spark plug of a player for him. He hits some big doubles.
He steals some bases. He hits timely hits over the last couple of years.
He hits some walk-off home runs, if you remember. We were on a golf course one time, and Tommy hit a walk-off home run. You know, he's a leader on that team, absolutely, but it's not going to change this team. Like, if you think about the St. Louis Cardinals players of batting, Nolan Gorman is a streaky, streaky hitter. And I don't know if Cardinals fans just haven't understood this yet, but Nolan Gorman is going to strike out 30-plus percent of the time. But he's going to be on pace for 30-plus home runs in around 100 RBI. Like, that's what you're going to get. It's going to be Kyle Schwarber-esque.
Yeah, and that's what we've been wanting, right? Yeah. Kyle Schwarber, Jock Peterson, we wanted that left-handed power. This is what it is.
That's all it is. Like, and I don't. And people are like, we need to trade him, or he's not doing – he's striking out 36% of the time. Like, this is as anticipated. His batting average is a little lower at the moment than they would like. I think they would really like him to land in the 230 to 250 range.
Yeah.
Right now, I think he's 198 at last check. Which is obviously low, but Kyle Schwarber is batting 202. Kyle Schwarber has one more home run, less RBI, and a little bit higher OPS. He is literally having a Kyle Schwarber season right now, as Kyle Schwarber's having this season. So, like, that is who Gorman is, but he's also crazy streaky. We wouldn't lead Nolan Gorman off, would we? Well, that's what the Phillies do with the exact same output that you're getting from Nolan Gorman. Then you have, obviously, who just got sit down in Walker. Jordan Walker is a streaky hitter as well. We'd like for him to figure it out over time, but he's still a very streaky hitter. Now, then you get on to Nolan Arenado. Nolan Arenado can put the team on his back by himself for a whole month.
Yeah, Goldie as well.
Right? Goldie as well. So I just rattled off four guys that are obviously streaky hitters.
And they're all cold right now.
And they're all cold. So the it's going to change, but you can't build a team. Like, how can I see that in February or even halfway through the season last year? The hitting still was a problem in 2023. So how can I see that then, but all of a sudden you can't see that as an organization that's building the team? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me when you have a bunch of guys that are just streaky. I believe the Cardinals will catch fire together, a handful of them, a couple of them, and they'll win a bunch of games in a row. They'll score some 10-run games, but it's not built for a season-long type of situation. I jokingly texted Josh and said, just go trade for Trout. Like, just go, because we need a center fielder.
Lead leaguing 10th home run and only 13th RBI the other day.
And I jokingly say that, but the Cardinals need a real center fielder. Again, I love Tommy Edman. He's not going to be a real center fielder.
Victor Scott, I hope he's back. He did look good defensively, but
he was great defensively.
He's got to find a way to get on base.
Right. So who's this? I think that's like, okay, you look at the roster, what would you do? I would go get a on-base guy, can hit. He can hit home runs. He's clutch. You need a superstar in center field. Well, Mike Trout. I don't know. You have any other guys that can be a really good center fielder that a team would trade?
Not off the top of my head.
Mike Trout is all
I got. And I would assume at this point of his career, he would be more, open to that idea, I would think, especially considering that the Angels, they're just
remember at one time he demanded a trade and then he pulled that back. But
yeah,
it's a pipe dream. But my point is that it has to be that's the main position where you can make a real change. Look, Lars in left and Walker in right is what they want and what should be solidified. Donovan, Gorman, solidified. Wynn, by the way, having an exceptional year, solidified. Arenado, Goldschmidt, solidified. Wilson Contreras. Those positions are what the Cardinals fans have wanted. They're just not hitting altogether how we want. So where's the real empty spot? It's center field.
It's either center field or it's going to be first base.
Right.
If they let Goldschmidt go this year. And it might not even be first base, right? You could talk about moving Jordan Walker to first base.
You could move Gorman. You could move Walker.
You could talk about moving Wilson Contreras to first base with how Ivan Herrera's been hitting the ball.
Absolutely. And so that's kind of the conversation I've also had as well is, okay, if you, even though you don't love Lars Nootbaar in center field, if you put Lars Nootbaar in center field, then you can put Brendan Donovan in left field or Donovan, whatever, vice versa in left and right field. Then you can have, if Donovan's playing outfield, then you can have Yvonne and Wilson be your DH and your catcher. That changes the lineup.
Yeah.
Because you don't have an out in Ciani or Victor Scott.
Right.
That to me is a different, and I get it that Newton is not a great a center fielder. And the Cardinals have obviously said that they believe that he is not going to be the center fielder at any time. But it's time for some offense.
Yeah.
So how do you inject anything differently than doing something different than what you're doing right now?
Yeah, you either make a big trade like that or you get Newt out in center. And he played all throughout the WBC in center. He got right. Jumped into Japan stardom playing center field for Team Japan. Now
his injury
I think the worry is how the toll
was fractured ribs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're thinking is the thought that his less hard toll, running
in a corner
his
spot.
Hard running, he's diving for balls more often in center field. Is that the thought to protect him?
I think it's got to be. And I think it's part of why I honestly don't think also that the Cardinals want Donovan in the outfield much. Just given the surgery sure. that he just had with his arm and things like that, he's looked fine out there. I mean,
you don't want him there, but at what point?
You have to.
Would you rather have Donovan and Newt Barr be 100% play every single game for 162 and not make the playoffs? Or would you rather them play 120 games and they got hurt and you still made the playoffs because you had more offense?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
exactly.
I don't get like the fans aren't showing up. I know it's still April and the Cardinals do better school. In the school, and the weather has been pretty crappy for the home games. Colder, rainy. Yes. But the fans are still not showing up. And what are you going to do? And I get it. So I don't know. I'm pretty frustrated with the offense. I think the pitching is just fine.
Yeah.
And Stu, who's great on Twitter, I would have to look up his exact name. He talked about how the Cardinals have the third worst run differential in Major League Baseball.
I think it's
third.
Yeah, I can try to find that.
But it all happened in two games. 22 Cardinals run differential, negative run differential, I think is negative 30. 22 of those negative 30 came in two games when the Cardinals lost 14-1 to the Diamondbacks and the Cardinals lost 10-1 to the Marlins. That's 22 of those runs.
Negative 26. 26 after yesterday.
After yesterday. So, okay, even so, 22 of those 26 runs happened in those two games. What does that tell you? That doesn't tell me the pitching is bad. That tells me the pitching gave up on two games, probably, right? Or they put in some guy. Like, if you just look at it from afar, like, you don't even actually dive into all of it. It tells you that you scored one run in two runs in two games total.
Yeah.
And you gave up 24 runs.
What it was like a week straight there, we only scored three runs or less.
We're averaging runs per game is 3.42.
Yeah. It's not good. And we can talk pitching. So, I mean, I do think the pitching, so we're 11th in the National League in pitching ERA. We're 4.11 right behind the Padres, who are 10th, 4.02. I think the one worry for me with the starting pitching right now is after Gray and Lynn, I don't feel too good. Gibson's had pretty good last couple starts. He's looked really good.
Gibson has had three quality starts out of five.
He's looked. I'm okay with him. Like, but
three
somebody
out of five.
Like, I feel comfortable. Like, he can get us through six and keep us in the game.
How many quality starts did the Cardinals have last year? 22, I think, is the number.
Not much.
It's 20 something.
Michaelis
Gibson has three.
Yeah. Michaelis and Matt's terrible.
Monty right has five. Oh, by the way,
yeah, already
has five and five. Yeah. He has five quality starts in five games. But Matt has been good, but he had a bad.
Last three outings have been pretty rough.
I'll give him three.
Seven,
fine.
Five, and four, I think.
Yeah. I'll give him three good, three as you expect as a fifth starter, and two bad.
Did you see Ollie's post game on him the other day?
I did. I don't think I did. It was a late game, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I think so.
I don't think I saw it.
The next day was interesting hearing his. That was a blowout, right? The 14-1, yeah. He said overall he thought he looked really sharp. One of his sharpest outings.
Now look, Steven Matz.
Wait a second.
Steven Matz gets a lot of flack, and he's been really, really good since he was put in the bullpen in 2023. People don't like to hear that, but that's just factual.
We talked about that as a reason why you should go sign a third starter this offseason.
And I don't.
And now we're seeing why that might have been beneficial.
Because when Matz is struggling at
you
the
tell
moment.
Me Jordan Montgomery wouldn't look great right now in this rotation with Matz in the bullpen, especially now that Zach Thompson just had to get sent down because he can't throw harder than 91.
Right. So if you had one of those guys, then you could be then putting Matz in the bullpen to get back on track, and you would have Jordan Montgomery, and then an injury would pop up or something, or Miles Michaelis would probably not go to the bullpen. But the point is, you can move that fifth starter to the bullpen and then be that sixth starter, and then vice versa when guys are going well and then they're not. And the bullpen has been very, very, very good. That's been the bright spot of the season, is the bullpen. The guys have been locking down games when we're only scoring 3.42. I think the Cardinals are lucky to be where they are in wins and losses. I think.
Oh, it could be worse. I think it definitely feels like it could be worse.
I think they're two or three under 500, right?
Three right now, three. 11 and 14. Yeah.
And the first 16 games of the season were very, very difficult. And those could have gone a lot.
7-9 we went.
Yeah, and they could have gone 4-5-ish yeah. wins. And it would be another, you know, 6-7 under 500. So I think that the bullpen has really been really, really good. That's been able to hold them there.
Five other teams, by the way, lower negative run differential than us.
Five. So that we benefited because of yesterday's game.
Yeah. So you got Colorado negative 56.
Oh my.
Marlins negative 47. The White Sox, negative 85.
Oh, my.
Oakland A's, negative 40, and the Astros, negative 36.
And now the Cardinals at 20.
Negative 26.
26.
The Pittsburgh's, negative 3. This is in division. Reds, plus 19. Chicago, plus 26. Brewers, plus 35.
And people don't want to hear it. The other teams in our division have played an easier schedule than the Cardinals have.
They have. Brewers get the Yankees this weekend.
Yeah.
So hopefully the Yankees get some stuff done against them.
And that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse for the Cardinals.
No.
By any means. But the other teams in the division have had an easier start to the season, but we still have to beat the teams in the division. The Brewers.
Getting swept by the Brewers at home was atrocious. Painful. It was so bad. Even if you could just at least win one of those games.
If you win one, I mean, think about that. We're three games under 500. That's all three games right there.
Yeah.
I mean.
And you win two of those, you're 2.5 back instead of 3.5 back instead of 5.5 now.
Right. It's a big swing to be swept in that series. Like it,
especially
just
at home. They had just lost Yelich. Devin Williams is hurt. You know, just all those things we just went over. I mean, there was one game that series that I was like, Ollie was completely and totally outmanaged. And it would happen in one inning. They walked Wilson Contreras, who had been hitting the whole game for us. And the next inning, we pitched to William Contreras, who's the only guy hitting for them. And he torched us.
He got both RBI in that game.
In that same game. Made absolutely no sense.
Someone did say on Twitter, it was like, well, the next guy, I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Sorry. For Brewers? The Brewers, yes.
Was it a new guy?
Hoskins? No. They're a good guy. Their other good hitter.
Willie Adames?
Yes. Adames was the next guy behind William Contreras in the lineup. They said, well, if you walk William and then Adames gets a hit, you're going to still be mad. No, I'm not going to be upset. No. Because at that time, I don't know what his numbers are now. At that time, William Contreras is batting 500 with runners in scoring position on the season.
Yeah.
So if you don't pitch to him, I think that goes, oh, let's use the analytical data in front of us and say, let's not pitch to this guy and walk him and get a better shot against Adames. Yeah. Maybe it still would have worked out the exact same way because 53% of the time, the home team loses in extra innings, which just I think tells you just how dumb that rule is. But it could have ended the same way, but I'd rather seen him walk him there just like you just said. That the Brewers walked Wilson in the same thing. We have some comments. Please send us some comments. We'll put you on screen. Chris, a little tongue in cheek.
That's a good poll.
Who shows up first? More Cardinals fans or Yadier Molina? Well, I don't know what you mean by more Cardinals fans, but I don't think you'll see Yadier Molina in St. Louis this season. I could be wrong. I have no inside information. I'm just saying, I just don't think it. People asked, again, there was another conversation. I want to say VHS on Van Hinkle, whatever. One of there was someone on
Van Hickelstein.
Yeah, that
he's a fun follow.
I think Twitter. Yeah, he's a great follow. I think that he was the one who made that comment.
Probably one of my favorite things he does on Twitter is he'll post the other team's broadcast of like a big play for us, or like walk offs or whatever.
I'll see if I can find it. But
my favorite video of his is 2019. You'll remember this one. It's when the Cubs, he posted the Cubs broadcast video on WGN of them calling Yadi and DeJong's back-to-back home runs Chicago. Off of Kimbrel.
Yes, yes.
Take the lead. That was a fun
one. That feels like a long time ago of my I can't find it. But now I don't even remember my train of thought of what I was talking about what he was even saying. I can't find it.
What was he talking about?
About Yadi. It was a conversation about Yadi.
Was it a while back?
It must have been further back than I thought. But pretty much my thought was, I think that Yadi saw the extension to Ollie and said, nope, I'm not going to be a part of it. And someone else said, well, maybe it was Yadi said, I'm not going to be a part of it. And then they signed Ollie to an extension. Both make sense to me. But I think it was more like whenever they saw, whenever Yadier Molina saw the Cardinals sign Ollie Marmol to an extension, that he said, no, I'm not going to be a part of that cluster. And I'm going to let them just take care of it. Because I think what he wanted to do, again, this is my speculation of my thoughts, what's going on. He wanted to see Ollie fail. And then he could come in, pick up the pieces. They fire Ollie. Yadi comes in and changes the dynamic, changes the culture, changes the clubhouse, all those things. That's my personal thought.
I don't think Yadi's coming back anytime soon either.
No. Number one,
Cobra
chicken prospect. Nice. I don't know what that means.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, it's a YouTube comment. Comment. Okay. He says, I assume that's a he, because a Cobra chicken, maybe. They say, what do you think Brandon Crawford will bring to the Cardinals? Not a thing. No. The whole issue with...
Hopefully he's a good mentor for Mason Wynn. I mean, I
remember the
sounding board for him with anything. Thankfully he hasn't played this last week.
Do you remember the thought process coming into the season? Mason Wynn was in over his head.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get backup because we don't have anyone else that can him up, because Edmund was like kind of your next backup.
But now Jose Fermin's up, so he's that guy. Honestly, if there needs to be a shortstop to play, it should be Fermin now.
Has actually been hitting in AAA as well. But if you think about the whole reason Crawford exists on this team is because... But Wynn was worrisome. That he wasn't going to be good. And Mason Wynn has arguably been the best hitter on the team so far this season.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the stats, like, Mason Wynn has exceeded my expectations for this season already. Like, he has hit really, really well. Now, he's going to have a slump. It's going to happen. But he's really over exceeded what I thought he was going to do. And he's getting on base. He's stealing. He's hitting. Like, he's done really, really well. Brandon Crawford shouldn't be sniffing a lineup at this point. I mean, if Jose Fermin is up, there's no reason for Brandon Crawford to even be on the team.
No.
There's no reason he takes up a roster spot. Like, Sejacy should be up as well with Fermin, because he's been crushing the ball as well.
Yeah, he's looked great. Mason Wynn, by the way.
Thanks for the comment, Cobra Chicken guy.
Looking at shortstop offensive stats here this year so far. Wynn is fourth in all of baseball in batting average among shortstop.
Nice.
He is fourth among all shortstop in on base percentage, .385. Looking great there. The only thing, and he didn't need to, we don't need him to, is the slugging. But he's still 14th in all of baseball among shortstop and slugging. He's ahead of Dansby Swanson, O'Neill Cruz, Francisco Lindor, Bo Bichette, Corey Seager. He's ahead of those guys in slugging. And he hasn't even hit a home run yet. So that's impressive. The OPS has looked great. He's up there in that category, ninth in all of baseball among shortstop, ahead of a lot of names that you know as well. He's been fantastic. Just fantastic. I'd like to see maybe still a little more bases. That's kind of one thing, especially with the 385, 384 OBP. He's got the speed. I hope he'll get a green light more. He's only got 4 stolen bases right now. He definitely looks like that somebody that could and should be in the 25, 30 plus stolen base range each year. He looks like he's got the wheels to do that, but he's just been, in clutch. I think that's the thing that I've loved about him this year too. He's going with where the ball is pitched, hitting the ball the other way a lot, and getting timely hits when we need them in big spots. And so he is someone in the future. If this on-base percentage keeps up with the way he plays, would love to see him lead off at some point.
Yeah, he keeps on coming up, inching up the lineup. I have no problem with him being up there
because play the hot hands.
They've put Gorman down further in the lineup, also fine because he's hit better actually lower. I think Nolan Gorman, and you can look at Jordan Walker the same way. They're young guys still. We forget how young most of these dudes are, except for Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. These dudes are really young. So I think there's a head part of it that also goes into all of this. Whenever you put Gorman up there and in third, and then he's not, having good at bats, then it gets even more in his head. Put him down at eighth, there's less pressure, and then all of a sudden he starts hitting again, which is fine. Maybe Mason Winn is that dude that wants to be the leadoff guy. I don't know. Put him up there. I don't understand. Look, there's one way, I want the same lineup every single day. That's like the perfect world that everything just ends up you do that every game. But that's when you have a good offense and it's producing. You don't touch it, you keep rolling with it. But whenever it's not going very well, it's time to shake it up. And I think the Cardinals are past time to shake it up. I mean, winning the game.
What, Goldschmidt was batting fifth, sixth? I did not think, no matter what, that would happen this year. So kudos to Ollie for that, because I honestly didn't think.
No, I thought that he would just be running out there over and over again.
But, he's got his batting average up to 200 now. Goldschmidt.
And yes. And he hit a home run on the first day of the season.
Yep.
What I got?
Still only has 3 extra base hits. 2 home runs and that one double. And the one double was the other day. That was his first double. It was yesterday, actually. Wild. Just wild. 63 OPS plus right
okay,
now.
So
Paul Goldschmidt.
Paul Goldschmidt hasn't hit really in his fashion since the last month, before the last month of his MVP season, right? I mean, is that what you'd think?
Yeah, I would love to find this because it feels that way. It feels
August,
like it's been going on a long time.
So probably August of 2022. When he had just a run from March-ish, April-ish into August of 2022, he was the best player in baseball. And that's why he won the MVP. Even though the last month and the month plus of the season, he was dreadful. Last year, he wasn't great. He wasn't very good. He never hit in that huge, just mashing the ball. And now we're how many games into this season? And he still wasn't really hitting either.
September of last year, September, October. So to end the season, pretty much that last month, 24 games, Goldie had 3 home runs, 11 RBI, hit 209. And so now we're into
209
for a month plus last year. And now you're into this season, and it's just not good. It's not great. What are we, 30, that 24, yeah, so 24 games so far this year, and he's hitting 200. So you're looking at, I'd have to pull up his hits. That's 48 games total now, dating back to last September, and he's hitting around 200. It's just, it hasn't just been this much,
right.
Has been carryover for a while, and it's just not. Him and Arenado, the worry for me is the power. The power is just gone. It's just gone. I mean, what you could always say with Goldie is he's going to hit for power and he's going to get on base. And he's doing neither of those.
And you can also say, well, it's been chillier than normal, but half these games aren't in St. Louis.
Yeah, and you miss.
We were in L.A., San Diego, in a dome in Arizona. We've played in where else? I can't think. The point is, it's not just in St. Louis.
I saw a stat today that was like, yeah, I'm not surprised. Just watching the games. I can tell how many times I've seen and watched. I probably texted you. How many times are we going to miss a 94 mile per hour or slower fastball over the heart of the plate? Goldschmidt is missing, like striking out on 92 mile per hour fastballs down the middle. Arenado not hitting for power home runs. Today they talked about it on BK and Ferrario. Out of close to 500 fastballs thrown, now this is over 95. This is a little harder to the Cardinals hitters in 2024 so far. They've only collected two extra base hits.
Over 95.
Over 95 mile per hour fastballs. So, and close to 500 of those have been thrown to Cardinals hitters in 2024 so far. They've only collected two extra base hits. They've put the ball in play on just 79 of them. Essentially, the stat is fastballs are completely dominating this team.
And that is the era of baseball we're in, hard throwers. If the Cardinals can't hit against hard throwers, they're
only 14% really of them of those 500 fastballs they put into play.
Not a hit. Not
only two extra base hits out of all the fastballs.
How many hits do we have that number?
I don't have that in front of me.
But two extra base hits, and it means they've only hit the ball into play to be caught, right? Making out would be into play still.
Yeah. Really, really bad. And again, that's over 95. I feel like we've watched so many games already where I'm like, especially Goldschmidt, it's really alarming because he's always hit fastballs well. I'm like, you are striking out on 92, 93, 94, right over the heart of the plate.
So do you think that Goldschmidt will get better?
I mean, if he doesn't, if him and Arenado...
Yes or no, will Goldschmidt improve this year?
He has to. Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
Okay, so you don't think...
But if he and Arenado do not, we're going nowhere. Well, those absolutely are the guys. We can talk Jordan Walker got demoted, so we can talk about that. We can talk Jordan Walker. We can talk Nolan Gorman. We can talk Lars Nootbaar all day. If Goldschmidt and Arenado are not doing what this team traded and signed them for to do, which is to be the guys leading the team, right? The big hits, the home runs, the consistent numbers. If they aren't doing that, we're going nowhere.
I mean, yes, obviously. Those two dudes have never won anything. They've had like two, three winning seasons ever in their careers. At what point is it a them problem, or is it just, well, it's they're out of their prime. Prime's coming in sooner. Or is it two dudes that just have never been players on a team that is good?
They've never had to really carry those expectations.
Right. Because Goldschmidt had great seasons alone and the team never did anything. So now whenever you have, they want you to continue to be good around young guys, he can't do anything else either. I'm
Arenado,
really,
by the way, .389 slugging percentage. .389.
And his batting average is not terrible, right?
He's batting .295. Yeah. But like, okay, six doubles. He's got six doubles in a home run.
I saw him
out of 28 hits.
I saw him take a walk the other day. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. OBP's fine, .343 there. Yeah. That's actually his career average is .343 OBP. So he's right at his career average. But his career slugging is .525, and he's at .389.
So he's not hitting extra base hits. He's not getting home runs and doubles.
All.
He's getting singles and walks.
Getting some RBI. I mean, 12 RBI and 20. He's got almost as many RBI as Mike Trout, who's got his 10 home runs.
Wow. Well, Mike Trout getting no one on base.
10 home runs and 13 RBIs for Mike Trout.
That is just painful. No wonder that.
I think they said he's on track for like 40-something home runs and 80-something RBIs.
No wonder that Ohtani guy left.
Yeah. But, same thing with Arenado, right? This dates back to last year. Arenado only had a .459 slugging percentage last season. And I know he had the back issues, and that kind of plagued him the last few months, and then he didn't play. But Arenado only .459 slugging percentage all of last year. That is not close to his average. Even his first two seasons with us, first season, 2021, was .494 slugging. 2022, when he was top three in MVP, was .533 slugging. It's dropped off dramatically. And, if those two don't heat up and start carrying this team like they were signed to do, it's really not going to matter. I don't think what everyone else is doing, unless you see like all-star level performances from Gorman and Newt Barr, and they stay healthy. You know what I mean? They're getting clutch hits.
But even if they do, it doesn't really matter if two of your two best players in theory aren't competing, because we already kind of sort of expect Gorman to be doing that, and kind of sort of expect Newt Barr to be doing that. That's what makes you think that you may have a World Series type team if you have all those guys doing those things. Like, that's kind of why you think is the step forward that these guys should be taking. And I was a big, big anti Jeff Albert.
We all were.
If these guys aren't hitting, this is on Jeff Albert. They have a new hitting coach and they're still not hitting. At what point do we blame the players themselves? At what point do we change things up? I mean, the best hitting coach we had, or best performing hitting team we had, was under Mark McGwire as the hitting coach. Is that because Mark McGwire is a really good hitting coach, or is that because we had just better players as well? You know what I mean? Like, you had Albert Pujols, and you had probably...
That was when we got Beltran, right?
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
So yes. McGwire was 2012 and 2013.
Yeah, you're right.
So you had Beltran.
He was on the 11 team too, right? Wasn't he?
I think McGwire. He was. So you let Pujols walk. You had Beltran. And then they let Alan Craig take over at first base, I think, right? Or no, Craig. I think they did it. Yeah, Alan Craig played because he had like over 100 RBI like that first year after Albert left.
Didn't Carpenter play a lot all over the place?
He played some first, but yeah. That was when 2013 was when he broke Stan's. It was either 12 or 13 Stan's doubles record playing second base.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that team, I remember that team, 12, especially 13, being just incredible with runners in scoring position.
Like
incredible. Everybody.
That was the Memphis Mafia guys, yeah.
Freeze,
right? That game was
Descalso, yeah. Jay. Alan Craig was fantastic.
You just thought when there was a runner in scoring position, they were scoring.
Carlos Beltran, fantastic. Probably one of the best signings, free agent signings, that John Mozeliak has had. Carlos Beltran for those 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that worked out fantastic. Alan Craig hit .315. With 13 home runs, and get this, 13 home runs, 97 RBI in 2013.
Well, so McGwire wasn't a hitting coach that year.
Oh.
Not for the Cardinals.
He was anyways. 2012, I think.
He's 10, sure. 11, and 12.
Yeah. 2012, they were great, too. I remember them being pretty good.
Yeah, so 10, 11, and 12, though. I mean, they won the World Series in 2011. So, I mean, like...
Yeah.
You had Albert Pujols,
2012 was the notorious, I think, infield fly wild card game on the Braves, wasn't it?
Key Cosma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Against the Nationals, We knocked the Nationals out, and they didn't start Strasburg.
Braves, Nationals, then lost to the Giants.
Yeah.
Up
three games to one.
Yeah.
And two to games to one, or whatever it was.
Going back to them, right? We were up 3-1 going back to them. Yeah.
Barry Zito, man, still in my nightmares.
Yeah, that team should have... probably won that year too. Should have what it was. So you mentioned Stan Musial. I guess we'll go back to the Cobra Chicken. Cobra Chicken, by the way, says that's the name of scroll back up. FYI, the Cobra Chicken are a hockey team. So he's just trying to be funny. So you'd have to get the Cobra Chicken joke. He asks, this is a scratcher, head scratcher thinker here. If Stan Musial played these days, how do you think he would perform with the Cardinals? Would he be a good or bad addition? He wouldn't be bad.
No. I mean, these types of questions are always interesting because everyone's got Babe Ruth played against farmers and, you know, there's no way they'd be able to hit 104. I mean, we just don't know, right? It's kind of a moot, like, debate because there's no way to prove.
Did you ever see Stan Musial play?
No.
Me neither. I have no idea. Like, obviously, Stan Musial, my favorite stat, he has the exact same amount of hits at home that he does on the road, which I think is just a crazy stat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like, it was just unbelievably weird stat to me. This is unbelievable. Crazy. Like, the thought is, he would obviously... What version of Stan Musial are we getting? Are we getting early career, mid-career, late career? It doesn't matter. Yes, he's a good addition to the team. If he's a late career, he's a great leader of men, right? I think no matter what era of Stan Musial you're getting, he's going to be a good addition. Can he still hit? Sure. I don't know, can he hit the same level? They're throwing harder. It's different. Like, but that was like dead ball era. Stan Musial, yeah. Right? Playing the dead ball era. Like,
Stan only hit under 275 in a season.
Once?
Twice.
Twice, yeah.
1959, he hit 255 at 38 years old. And then his final season with the Cardinals in 1963 in 124 games at 42 years old, he hit 255.
Yeah,
I career batting average is 331.
Yeah, I think I
that'll could, play today.
I think I could fit it in somewhere.
Yeah, like, yeah, I think you'd be fine.
Yeah, I'm even if okay, they're not throwing as hard type of thing. Now they're throwing harder. Okay, let's take some away. Instead of 330, he's batting 300. Yeah,
yeah,
it would work.
Take that all day.
All day. He could play. He played first base.
Yeah. Not to mention he averaged, you know, 25 home runs, 104 RBI every season.
Yeah, I think I'd find some room for that guy to be able to play. Yeah.
Let's talk a little Jordan Walker, because I do think this is a obviously timely topic. He just got sent down. A lot of people I think I saw on Twitter were up in arms, but I'm also kind of like, I mean, I get it. Like, it's not entirely surprising, right? I mean, you couldn't have had as bad of a start as he had. 9 hits in 58 at-bats, 4 doubles, 1 triple, no homers, only 4 RBI in 20 games. He had 18 strikeouts in 20 games. Pretty rough. 155 the batting average, 41 OPS plus. I mean, you know, you saw him start off 6th. Batting 6th in the lineup, then 7th and 8th. Didn't play for like 2 days in a row. It felt like it was coming.
Were you shocked?
I'm a little shocked because,
I didn't think they were going to do it.
No, and I just hope it doesn't tear up his confidence, because on the other end, I'm like, man, like, just let him stay up and figure it out. I mean, maybe at some point it's not going to help him to stay up. I don't know. They left Mason Wynn up for 3 months last year, and he hit 165, 180, 170. Like lost season, I know at that point, totally different. Like, right. Hey, go out, no pressure. But what does this say to Jordan when it's like, he's not – would this be happening if the team had a winning or 500 record and Goldschmidt and Arenado were hitting like they're supposed to? No, he'd be figuring it out.
Yeah, so my thought is – I didn't even realize how bad Jordan Walker had been this season, because everyone else
has also been terrible. And even we could talk about others, Brandon Donovan, Ivan Herrera, they've cooled down significantly. Those guys are batting low 200s now too. It's not like it's just Jordan Walker or it was just Victor Scott.
I think at one point the Cardinals had 6 guys under 200, batting under 200. And so you can't say like, well, Jordan Walker's been terrible. Yeah, the whole offense has been terrible. So I was kind of just shocked to see him get sent down. I don't mind it. I understand the thought process, because let's go get him to get it figured out and bring him back after he gets it figured out.
But my question is, how many teams over the last 5, let's just say 5 years, have had to send down their top prospect? They're not just the top prospect in the organization, like a top, what, Walker's a top 10 prospect overall in the MLB. Yeah. Twice in April, the last 2 years in a row. I don't see the Orioles doing that. Gunnar Henderson's there. When he came up, he stayed. Adley Rutschman came up and stayed. Like, we'll see. The jury's still out on Jackson Holliday. He's had a rough start.
Oh, boy.
He's had a rough start, but not surprised.
Boy.
And Mike Trout was terrible in his first, you know, whatever, 20, 30 game, whatever.
I think he started, like, I haven't seen in the last few days, but I think he started 1-for-19 with 15 strikeouts or something
pretty
like
pretty
that.
Pretty rough.
It was like, holy smokes.
He just turned 20 in December. You know, he's going to be fine. And then I think we forget with Jordan Walker. Like, Jordan Walker,
23 years
he'll be
old.
22 May 22nd.
Okay, so let me
so
ask you
a month
this.
From now-ish, he'll be 22.
I don't look at this. Maybe you do. Maybe other people that are listening do. Are the Orioles fans clamoring for him to get sent down? Are the Orioles friends?
Jackson Holliday, no.
Are the Orioles fans thinking the sky is falling because Jackson Holliday's not?
And he's only
not
been
hitting?
Up 10 games, 18 strikeouts in 10 games.
Yeah. So are the Orioles fans on Twitter going, this kid sucks? He's not a top prospect? Because that's exactly what the St. Louis Cardinals fans would be doing.
Like, oh, yeah.
They would be saying how big of a bust Jackson Holiday.
But we have
Holiday
a track record of this with our prospect. This is the problem. We talk these guys up, and I heard some good conversation about this the other day on 101 ESPN with some of those guys. Dylan Carlson, for example, famous quote during the Juan Soto, even before the Juan Soto stuff, when we talked about maybe trading for some pitching. There was like a John Mozeliak quote of essentially something to the degree of like, you have to pry him from my cold dead hands.
Right.
Dylan Carlson. This has done nothing.
Who you can't get a bag of donuts for right now.
No. Yeah. No. Tyler, we've seen it with Tyler O'Neill. We've seen it with Carlson. We've seen it talked up with, I mean, you go back, we've seen it with Grichik. We've seen it with Piscotty. We've seen this. Like, this is going to be the next guy. This is going to be the next guy. And it's never the next guy. And at some point, you need to look in the mirror and say, are we ruining the player evaluation and player development of our top prospects when year after year after year, our top prospects are not panning out?
They're gun shy, though, because of a Rosarena and Adolis Garcia and Alcantara and Gallen. Like, they're even more gun-shy now because they know if they miss another one, it's going to get louder.
Yeah.
So they think, okay, we see the same things we saw in those guys. We didn't hold on to them long enough. The Cardinals have either, in the last 20 years, have either held on to guys too long or got rid of them too soon. They haven't made the right choices in between. And that's what I think that they're like, what are we going to do differently? I think that's the difference. Like, how can we make a decision that doesn't make us look like we don't know what the hell we're doing? And I think they're scared. And I think it's almost time for someone else to not be so scared and step in. And no matter what, I think John Mozeliak will fill his entire contract to 2025 and then do whatever he wants to after that. Whether that's retirement, whether that he goes to a different team, whether he goes into a cushier job of a consultant. I don't know what his plans are.
I'm ready for the next... just to see the next, whether it's Heim Bloom or it's Randy Floyd, whoever, I'm ready for something fresh. I think we're at the point where it needs to happen. I wanted to say this real quick. We were talking about at one point you had X amount of guys batting under 200.
Yeah.
I've got the team pulled up for this 2024 season. Ivan Herrera. I feel like I've heard Ivan or Yvonne.
I think it's Yvonne.
Yvonne Herrera. Batting 216 now.
Talk about guys we've built up.
Yes. He had a great start.
But no, I'm talking about what he's prospect-wise.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. We could talk catchers, too.
Carson Kelly.
Yeah. Kisner's going to be the next guy.
Heir to the throne. I have a Yvonne Herrera ball somewhere that's literally signed Yvonne Herrera, heir to the throne.
Yeah.
I didn't have him do that. I got it in a grab bag for $5. But the point is,
yeah,
they have him listed, and he could very well turn into a really, really good player. He's a hit first catcher, and I love it. But my point is,
but he's only so.
Yadier Molina is a Hall of Fame catcher.
Yeah, it's not. He's hitting 216 now. Great start,
boy.
I wouldn't think that if you just told me. I mean, a week or two ago, but playing time has slowed down.
Absolutely,
you've had to DH other people instead of him because you know, Walker's not playing. There's just a bunch of other things. Hitting 216 right now. Goldschmidt 200. Gorman 198. When is this recent? This doesn't look right because it's got Wynn at 299.
He was. I mean, I know he's batting well.
He's batting over 300. Arenado 295. Brendan Donovan 217. Victor Scott 085. Jordan Walker 155. I think this is recent. Alec Burleson 255. It's not looking good.
I'm just confirming with you.
I mean, up and down the lineup. I could have swore.
Wynn is
batting 299 right now. So I guess he had it down.
According to box scores, when I just pulled up the most recent box scores, got Wynn at 313.
Yeah, Baseball Reference has got him at 299. I'm curious maybe if they've got
it. Donovan has 217.
Yeah.
Contreras 294. Arenado 295. Goldschmidt even 200. Yeah. Herrera 216.
Yeah, those are all the ones I got.
Nootbaar 220, Wynn 313, Gorman 198, and Ciani.
Maybe they haven't updated Wynn yet from yesterday. I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe there's something there.
All that to say, you've got 6 guys out of the 9-year lineup batting under 217.
Well, here's what I don't understand.
Why do you, counting Scott and Walker.
Why do you take Scott out even though he's batting 087, to put in Ciani, who at the time had one career major league hit.
Ciani's like, batting 148.
Well, I just don't get that move. Like, okay, you want Victor Scott to go off and go figure it out, but why do you then put in Ciani to make that? Like, he had, whenever he was promoted, like whenever he
four career hits, yeah.
Right. Whenever he got put into that position, he had one career hit.
And his last hit was in 2022. Before he got four hits this season.
Right. So, like, how does that make any sense? Okay, I understand 087. I wanted him to have a seat for a little bit, Victor Scott, meaning sending him down.
If he could have just walked, man. If he could have had, like, a 300 on base percentage. If he had, like, 8 to 10 steals right now, guarantee you he's not sent down.
I just don't understand the thought process of having Ciani batting no differently, not much differently.
I think they don't want to just tear Victor up, like, get mentality-wise when he's just doing nothing at the plate. And I can see that a little bit, like, okay, just go down. We've got a comparable player in terms of defensively and what he's going to do with his hit tool is Ciani, and we don't care about his mentality because he's probably not even going to be on the team in September. You know what I mean? He might not even be on the team by June or July when Carlson's back.
Right.
Like, so I get it.
No, I'm fine with it. I just don't understand the Ciani part of it.
Yeah. That's the only other guy, I guess, right now.
Because you're not going to play Nootbaar in center. You put Nootbaar in center field.
They clearly don't want to do that.
You have, like, you're batting, you're scoring 3.42 runs per game.
You got to do something.
Your problem is not pitching. You're 11th in ERA in Major League Baseball, right? You're 11th in ERA as a team. You're
batting. Put Newt out there for the first six innings.
Give him a run, but let's just find some hitting. Like, you switch it up. You got to put Nootbaar in center, and then you got to put Donovan in left or right, whatever he wants to go. Nootbaar on the other side. Then you're running Yvonne and Contreras as DH and catcher. And you have Gorman at second. And then you can also put Alec Bertelsen for a run out there in left field. If you need to, for a day off, put Bertelsen at first base. And whenever, because Goldie has been junk too, do something different.
Yeah. I mean, it's just.
I played center.
I've
come to a point of, you know, I think Ollie is incompetent. Yes. Is this Ollie's fault? I don't think so. Mike Schilt was the same way. Their bullpen decisions and some of the things and being outcoached is evident. Mike Schilt was not a really good manager, and Ollie Marmol is not a very good manager either for decision making, in situational hitting, who to bring in for this opportunity, who to pitch in this opportunity. Because the guys don't hit is not on Ollie Marmol.
No.
You could complain that it is on the hitting coach, but it's not on Ollie because these guys are scoring 3.42 runs a game. Now, would I have liked Newt to bunt that one game in extra innings? Yes. Like, there's a couple of those types of things that help you get a win that you didn't, but it doesn't change your batting, you know, the team's batting average as a whole. Like, it's just minute things, but they're still not hitting.
I left Contreras off of that earlier, by the way. 294.
He's hitting very well. Yes.
Newt's at 220.
The two
not
best
slugging either, but Newt's already got 7 RBI in 12 games.
The two best
so he's
hitters,
got some timely hits.
Two best hitters we have right now are Wilson Contreras and Mason Wynn.
Yes.
And Mason Wynn, if you don't remember,
Arenado's getting RBIs and hitting for average, but.
But if you remember, Mason Wynn is taking every few days off as well.
Yeah.
And Arenado he's not Donovan. Anymore because he's the only one hitting, so they're not giving as much rest.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've got an off day every Thursday.
Every Thursday has been an off day.
Arenado and
next
Donovan.
Next Thursday is an off day as well.
Yeah, I think for the next couple of weeks.
I would like to go up to Detroit right now. The Cardinals play. I bet that's a cheap ticket in Detroit.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about this road trip. Do a little. Let's go through what we think the record's going to be by the end of this. 1, 2, 3.
I don't know Detroit's road trip. I don't know Detroit's record.
They're looking up.
I don't think they're playing very well. Well, I can get it.
14-11. The opposite of us.
Tomorrow they play the Mets, right?
Yeah, we got 3 in New York and then 3 in Detroit.
Okay, so yeah, 14-11. The Mets are 13-11. And the Tigers are 14-11.
Yeah.
And then we're off again. So we have 6 games. And then we're off again for another Thursday.
And then you've got home against the White Sox and the Mets.
I'm going that weekend. the White Sox weekend because
hopefully you'll get to see him win.
3-22. That ticket, I haven't bought any tickets because, well, that it's better be cheap. The White Sox are abysmal and the Cardinals are abysmal ish. So the ticket better be pretty cheap. My wife probably wants, she'd probably like to see us get like a suite ticket for that one, get some free booze along the way.
I'm going to reserve. I'm just looking at the May schedule here. I'm going to reserve all of my negativity for how the season's going, probably for after this May 9th through 12th four-game series at Milwaukee.
I was going to say,
if that goes how this homestand did just against them, it's going to be 2023 all over again. You're just going to be buried, and you're not going to be able to get out of it.
The Cardinals also play the Mets again after
at home. Yeah.
After the White Sox, and then that Brewers that you talk about, then the Angels. I'm just seeing how difficult the schedule gets. Then the Twins, then the Red Sox. Like, I mean, it's an up and down schedule of 500-ish teams, a little sub, a little above. Like, there's not a big jump in. You should be able to win a lot of these games. Okay, 6 games, 3 in New York, 3 in Detroit. You're going to look at who's pitching? Is that what you're about to do now?
Maybe.
You're going
to... I was wanting to see, too, how the Mets and Tigers have been their last few games. Mets plus 10 run differential.
Oh, boy. Their first game tomorrow, by the way, is Michaelis versus, I don't know, Buddo. He has a 1.65 ERA.
Mets are 7-3.
So the Cardinals are no hit 10. On Friday night Apple TV. By the way, Friday night's game is Apple TV at 6:10. I don't know why the 6:10 game is on Apple TV. It's 7:10 Eastern.
So Mets are 6-6 at home so far, and they're 7-3 in their last 10.
The next game is Gray versus Hauser. Hauser has a 7.45 ERA to Mr. Sonny Gray's always sunny 1.04 ERA.
You got to win that one.
That is a muster. And then you have Lynn.
Oh, Lynn and our old friend Quintana.
Lynn with a 2.81 ERA. Lynn and Wynn are my two most surprising outcomes so far of the season. Lynn and Wynn have been great.
Talk about I don't know how the Brewers are winning. I don't know how Lance Lynn keeps getting strikeouts. Because he's not throwing as hard
anymore. The nut grab is what does it. They get scared. So then you have Quintana. They're going against Lynn with a 4.21. All right, let's start right there.
We have hit Quintana, I do know, pretty well in the past.
Those three games.
I'm going to say 2-1. Hopefully.
I agree.
Just looking at the pitching match.
Gray will win and Lynn will win.
But it would not surprise me if Quintana out of nowhere goes, you know, six scoreless.
7 great innings. Yeah. I wouldn't be, but I'm 2-1 as well. Okay, then we have TBDs the rest of the way for Tigers, Cardinals. But you have to assume.
Maybe we'll see Flaherty in that. That would be interesting.
Oh, boy. You have to assume it's Michaelis, Gray, Lynn. So you got to assume Gibson and Matz.
Yeah.
And then back to Michaelis. So Michaelis, Gibson, Matz in that series?
I think so.
But it's against the Tigers.
Tigers are 5-5 in their last 10. They've got a plus 7 run differential.
Optimistic.
Middle of the road. I mean, it sounds like a 500.
Are you
team.
Optimistic or pessimistic against the Cardinals versus the Tigers?
I just don't even know, man.
What day of the week is that? Man, I would love to sneak away to go to Detroit. We're about 5 hours.
I would love to pick.
We're probably 4 hours from Detroit, probably 4 or 5.
I'd love to pick, which I would think, hopefully, he'll be starting one of those games in those four-game series against the Brewers. I'd love to head over to Milwaukee, try to find the game that Sonny's starting. It could be fun. That's through a weekend.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know the Tigers. I feel like I can't remember the last time that we played them. Flaherty, by the way, 4.91 ERA. His 0-1 so far with the Tigers.
And people, if he was on the Cardinals, would be complaining.
Getting strikeouts. He's got 36 strikeouts and 29
innings.
People
would be complaining at that. So.
Oh, yeah.
I will go first if you'd like.
Yeah,
I
go ahead.
I'm going to go 2-1 as well. So I'm going to go 4-2 on this.
I would take that. Yeah.
Well, you would take it. Absolutely, you would take it.
You need, and hope that they figure out the offense gets going.
Anything worse, anything below 500 is a miss. And that's obvious, I think, statement. But my point is they should be 2-1 and 1-2 in those two series. And I think 2-1, it should be because you're pitching matchups against the Mets. And 1-2 you could do in the other one, but I think it should be 2-1 and 2-1. So 4-2. But if you're 3-3, I think that's fine as well. Obviously, that's one game difference. I'm no mathematician, but I think that's how that works. But it's not a big difference. But if you go under 500 in those six games, you're not hitting still. The pitch, because you have your two studs, two best pitchers going against the Mets. Like, I think that's when you should win. I don't know. I think under 500 is a worry time for me if that happens.
Yeah, you got to find a way to win.
Sorry, what are you going with? 4-2. I said 4-2 in the six. So
I'm going to say 3-3. Okay. It wouldn't surprise me if somewhere in that Mets series we lose another one.
So you're going backwards though? You said they were going to go 2-1 against the Mets.
That's true. I'm going to say, I guess the Detroit then.
1-2.
Maybe Flaherty shoves against us, and then we lose a close game. Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
The Atlanta Braves against the Atlanta Braves version of Jack shows up.
Yeah,
for the first time since 2019. Was that 2019?
We're talking Brewers, by the way. They've got 3 at home against the Yankees, 3 at home against the Rays, and then they go on the road for 3 against the Cubs and 3 against the Royals before coming back home to us.
That's a difficult
stretch. That's not
stretch.
A tough.
That's a difficult stretch for them. Are the Rays any good this year? I haven't paid attention.
That's a tough 12 game. Cubs are playing great. Royals are playing great.
Yeah. What about the Rays?
Rays are 13-13 right
so
now.
So they're just fine. They're fine. Yeah. That's a tough stretch.
For the
Brewers.
So I think these next 12 for them and us will be telling of where the standings are.
But the Brewers have overachieved, and I haven't dived into it. To figure out why they're overachieving, they're slugging. Yeah, they're just playing good ball all around. Yeah. All right, let's end on this. We have a question from Chris. We've had some thinkers, so let's end on this one. We're an hour and 7 minutes in. I think the last few times we've been an hour 20 plus in. So we have hundreds of people watching, maybe even thousands at the moment watching. Chris asks, here's one for you. Whitey's passing leaves a void. We didn't even really talk about Whitey. I don't think we mentioned him at all, but leaves a void with our Hall of Famers. I mean, we've lost a lot in the last few years. And we know Albert, Molina, and Waino are future Red Jacket guys. How many Cardinals do you think end up with one? Carp, Lynn, Goldie, Nato. Well, you want to answer? You were about to talk. You want to go?
No, you can go first.
People really hated on Matt Carpenter. Really hated on Matt Carpenter. And I've said since then,
he's a shoo-in.
Matt Carpenter is a Red Jacket guy. Whether people like him or not from back then, like Matt Carpenter.
He should be.
Even though he hasn't done anything right now, it doesn't matter. Like, Matt Carpenter is a Red Jacket guy. Lynn, I haven't even really thought about it. He obviously won a World Series with the Cardinals. I haven't really thought about that one as an option. And Goldie and Arenado, I would have to assume, are going to be as well. Because if you look at who gets a Red Jacket, it's not necessarily of what the team did in those times. It's what the players did on those teams. I mean, Ted Simmons is a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, and he didn't win a thing when it comes to actual championships. I think Goldie's MVP alone makes him a Red Jacket guy as a Cardinal with the MVP. Arenado, with his platinum gold gloves and his gold gloves, by itself, I think, will make him a Red Jacket guy. Other guys on the team, it's just too close. It's just way too early.
Yeah.
Lynn, I have no idea. I would have to really look at his number as a Cardinal. So I would say there are three guys that are obvious. And anyone else on the team is going to have to put in a lot more tenure in work.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some all-time Cardinals stats leaders here because it's intriguing. Matt Carpenter. So let's talk about Carp. If you think he's not a Cardinals Hall of Famer, you're crazy. He is.
Look, if you're talking
13th all time,
you're talking about putting Edgar Renteria in,
yeah,
or Matt Morris in. That's where they are right now. You're talking about putting a couple of those guys in. Matt Carpenter is.
Yeah. Matt Carpenter, 13th all time in the Cardinals, 301 doubles. More than Frankie Frisch, more than Kurt Flood, 13. More than Keith Lucky Hernandez, 13. More than Willie McGee, more than Matt Holliday, more than Jim Edmonds. We're talking doubles. Let's talk RBI. That's a pretty big one.
Yeah. Right? It's important. It's runs batted in. It's important.
Carpenter, 576th. He is 25th on that list, right behind George Hendrick and Keith Hernandez. But below him, some names you've probably heard of, below Matt Carpenter and Cardinals all-time RBIs, Joe Torre,
Red Jacket.
Mark McGuire,
Red Jacket.
Scott Rowland,
Red Jacket.
Tim McCarver,
Red Jacket.
Edgar Renteria,
they won him a Red Jacket.
Tom Herr,
Red Jacket.
And Paul Goldschmidt,
Red Jacket.
And Mike Shannon,
Red Jacket.
That's RBI. So those two stats alone, I'm like, you look at, yeah, he's, I mean, you know, should be.
I think you just rattled off 10 guys below him that all have Red Jackets. And that's an RBI. Yeah,
that's just an RBI. He's also 23rd in hits on the Cardinals.
What about home runs? I'm curious as on as a Cardinal.
Yeah,
but he did.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, well, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. 13th.
Yeah.
13th. So, one behind Matt Holliday. So he could wind up ahead of Matt Holliday.
What's the number? Let me guess. Like 115?
155.
Oh, okay. More than I thought.
Holliday had 156. So Carpenter could and hopefully will pass that. He could pass Matt Holliday in Cardinals home runs this year.
People don't want to hear it. I think Matt Holliday is the most overrated Cardinal probably of our
definitely wasn't clutch
generation.
But yeah, Carp, more home runs than Joe Medwick, Eno Slaughter, Lou Brock. Let's look. Scott Rowland, he had more home runs than Scott Rowland as a Cardinal. Would you have guessed that? Scott Rowland had 111 home runs as a Cardinal. What I'm looking at here is Matt Carpenter's got 155. This is MLB.com.
Matt Cardinals Carpenter is
totals.
Is
surefire.
The it's not even epitome of Red Jacket Cardinal Hall of Famer. That dude.
21st all-time in OPS.
He
in the Cardinals.
Carried teams when there was no one else left to carry a team.
Yeah, I mean him and Yachty.
Yeah, those
like
are the
when
only
Yachty was hitting.
Yeah, those are the only two dudes that were doing it.
2012.
Yeah, 2012 was
to
his
2016.
Year.
Fantastic, and even 2018.
Then the shift.
He finished ninth in MVP voting in 2018 at 32 years old.
But the shift.
He had 36 home runs at 32 years old. In 2018.
Boy.
We forget about that.
I would kill for someone to have 36
home
runs
and 42 doubles in 2018 and finished ninth in MVP. And he finished 12th in MVP in 2015. That's when he broke. No, that wasn't when he broke Stan's record. That's just another year. He had 44 doubles, led the league in doubles, 28 home runs, hit 272. 2013 was by far his best year. 126 runs, 55 doubles, only 11 home runs, but he hit 318 and 392.
OBP. Man, look at that. 11 home Fantastic. Runs. 11 home runs to 36 home runs, though.
Yeah, he went 2013 to 2016 or to 2018. He went 11 home runs, 8 home runs, and 158 games, too. He only hit 8 home runs. And then he went 28 home runs, 21 home runs, 23 home runs,
jeez,
36 home runs. 15 home runs.
Man.
He just finally started trying to hit for power and focusing on that, but he still had the doubles.
Yeah.
I mean, 40-plus doubles with 25-plus home runs is great.
Chris makes another good point. Lance Lynn could end up third on the list in strikeouts.
I want to pull that up here. We're going to pull up pitching now. I'm looking at hits. Let's find that here. Pitcher. Saying no results.
Yeah, because there's an easy joke there.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I no got results. Toggle here. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. Well, now I did switch to 2024. Okay. Here we go. All time strikeouts. Lance Lynn, ninth.
And he's close on the all the way up, right? To third.
He is I can do some math. What's 79 minus 51? He's got wait. No, I'm looking at the wrong player. Lynn's got 945. Steve Carlton had 951. So he'll jump over Steve Carlton this year. He'll jump over Steve Carlton the next week or two.
Probably. Right. Yeah. Next
so he's gonna be though. He's gonna be an eighth.
Steve Carlton. That guy was good.
Yeah. The next is Jesse Haynes and then Matt Morris. They had 979 and 986.
Okay,
I mean,
so
by the end of the season, he could be fifth. Bob Forsh had 1,079 strikeouts. Lance Lynn's at 945.
Bob Forsh is in there already.
Matt
Morris is on the ballot this year. Look, Matt Morris was a really good pitcher. He had struggles in the first inning was his thing. Like
longevity. I remember him pitching late in the games, quality starts all the time.
If he could get through the first inning, he was usually going to go for a bit. He was going to pitch seven innings, you know, back then. Like, his first inning was like, all right, how many runs is Matt Morris going to give up today in the first inning and then settle in? That was Matt Morris's MO. But the teams he was on was pretty bad.
Yeah.
As well. Like, the teams he was on, like, that's, you're talking about the 90s, like mid-late 90s were not really good teams. So,
Lynn, by the way, 73 wins as a Cardinal. That's 24th. He's a little low on that list. Chris Carpenter had 95, Matt Morris 101.
And Chris Carpenter's in the red jacket, but that's because, you know, the World Series.
Yeah.
Winning some games in the World Series.
Probably, I mean, aside from Gibson, the best playoff pitcher in Cardinals history.
Yeah.
What do you, I mean, I don't know Dizzy Dean's playoff stats, but I mean, I know Gibson was amazing in the playoffs.
Did you name your dog after him?
Dizzy, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't know his stats?
Don't,
come on, you can't name your dog after him.
I probably should. I need to look that. I see it here. He's got 134 wins.
It's pretty good.
And 1,095 strikeouts. Wainwright had some good postseason starts. And obviously the clutch.
Yeah.
You know, what was it, 06 mm-hmm. when he was closing.
But
I feel like he missed some of those Cardinals playoffs.
He wasn't in the 2011 at all. Yeah.
And then what? Towards Achilles, what was that? 2015 when he was out. Remember that? Towards Achilles on a pop up.
Yeah.
Then Tommy John. So yeah, he had a lot that he missed. Carpenter, I think, is probably the best player.
And then 2023. I mean, he practically missed that whole season.
Oh, we didn't say ERA. We're talking about ERA. Lynn is 24th with a 3.36 ERA.
So for Chris's question, if you're putting Matt Morris
Let's see
in
how this season goes.
If you put Matt Morris in, you're probably putting Lynn in. And I don't think that I put Morris in personally. Will I think that Morris gets in?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is a fan favorite.
It's too. A fan thing. Like, and so Lance Lynn has one thing that Matt Morris did not have, and that's a World Series ring as well. So that's a big difference. He was a part of the phone debacle, and Tony La Russa was Lance Lynn thing, right?
And then the other, we were talking about Goldschmidt, right? Who else? Goldschmidt right now is 17th all-time in the Cardinals in home runs. 133. Next closest is Bill White at 140, you know, Slaughter at 146. So by the end of the season, God willing, he hits more than 10 home runs. He will be – I mean, he should be above Eno Slaughter by the end of the season. So Paul Goldschmidt by the end of the season should be at least 15th on this list. Top 15 might be ahead of that.
And like I said, I think the MVP season alone makes Paul Goldschmidt a red jacket guy.
Yeah.
What I can't understand, and David Freese would have gone in if he would have allowed it, but David Freese
Goldschmidt is only 40th in Cardinals all time RBI, by the way. So he's quite a bit behind in that category.
What I was going to say was David Freese isn't in the Cardinals Hall of Fame. Either is David Eckstein or Porter. All three of your World Series MVPs in the last 35 years, whenever the 81 was. What year was 87? World Series? Whatever it was. Porter, Eckstein, and Freeze are your MVPs of the World Series, and none of those three are in the Cardinals Hall of Fame.
It's crazy.
They didn't have long tenure with the teams.
Yeah, weren't quite there long enough.
Eckstein was like 3 years. Freeze didn't have an extended amount of
injuries too.
But like Freeze didn't have an extended greatness. he obviously hit
just amazing postseason.
Right. Greatness. But I think that there should be a separate thing. So David Freese was going to get in and he said, no, you know, I don't belong in with these guys. I think that there should be, I think those three guys maybe should go in together. Daryl Porter. That's,
they should do like a, yeah, like a Cardinals playoff legends or like, I don't know. Throw a patch on their jacket.
But you know, like when you think about it though, like three of their World Series MVPs, your last three World Series champion teams.
Two Davids
and a Daryl, all three D's aren't in the Cardinals Hall of Fame. I think that's interesting. Like,
it doesn't feel right to not have Freeze in it. And I know he's so humble, different. But definitely being like a saint, like a, you know, local guy, yeah. Like,
son of St. Louis.
5 years for David Freese with the Cardinals, 44 home runs, 237 RBI.
Right. Like, you know,
yeah.
He he would get in because of obviously
the postseason
run.
Eckstein, 3 seasons, 13 home run, 115 RBI, hit 297.
But had a 2006 World Series to remember.
Won himself, an all-star that year, too.
He won himself a car.
An all-star, two of the 3 seasons with the Cardinals.
Either got a Camaro or a Corvette. I think it was a Camaro that he got.
Didn't he like sell it or give it to his brother or something? He
did something with it. I can't remember. What I also learned about him is that his wife is more famous than he is.
Really?
Yeah. She's part of the Star Wars thing. So
I'm curious.
One year, in the last few years, there was an Eckstein signing at
Doggin. Ashley Eckstein.
Yes, there was a Doggin, what is it? Dogtown Sports in St. Louis. There was a signing. And Eckstein did a signing, so we went there and got some stuff signed. And then his wife was there signing stuff as well. So they did like a dual signing. There was a longer line in St. Louis, Missouri for Ashley Eckstein than there was for David Eckstein because she's famous in the Star Wars nerd world. Yeah. So you had nerds on one side and baseball guys on the other.
She is
I don't know
a big voice actress on Star Wars Clone Wars, which is an animated series.
I know nothing but a very about popular, Star Wars. Not a thing.
Very, very popular. Probably the most popular animated Star Wars.
There's more than one.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot now.
The point is, she's very famous. More famous than David Eckstein because he had, you know, a 10-year MLB career that was decent. But she's very famous.
She voices one of the most popular Star Wars characters that was in anime. So they, you know, they did all the movies and then they started doing animated.
Star Trek.
She
Star
was a
Wars.
Very popular character in the animated show, and so popular that they actually just did a live action show on just that character. So they made
she has a new.
But she wasn't in that. She wasn't in that. So it was just, and they didn't use her voice obviously because they used a real actor, an actress. But very, very popular fan favorite in the Cardinals.
Look, I just taught you something. Maybe
I had no idea.
Maybe the thousands of people watching right now knows that David Eckstein's wife is more famous than him because of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Trek Wars.
Star Wars.
Wars Trek. Trek. Harry Potter.
Star Wars Trek.
What's the other one that I don't know anything about? Lord of the Rings. Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars Trek.
She's from Louisville, by the way. I don't know that. Looking that up.
Did not know she was from Louisville, Kentucky. All right.
Arenado, by the way, so far he's not on a lot of those leaderboards yet, but we'll see. We'll see what over the next 3 years that we still have him. 91 home runs, 313 RBI as a Cardinal so far.
Zero rings with Golden.
Zero rings. And no 2022 winners. Was probably the year to try to make that happen, and it didn't. And we're all sad.
Okay, we should probably end on a high note instead of ending there.
Cardinals are going to get back. They're going to come back. I'm going to say,
what
you know what?
Tells you look, that?
Throughout the 3-3, I just said, I'm going to say 5-1.
Whoa.
5-1 on this road trip. Look, we're going to timestamp this.
That was 15 minutes ago that we said.
You wanted to end positive. We're right at the end here. It's going to be easy to find later when I'm right. 5-1 on this road trip. I think they're going to be 2, maybe 3 games back by the time we get to that Brewers series. Hopefully we have some.
Who
fun
are
Milwaukee.
You? And what have you done with Josh?
I'm just throwing,
Josh
throwing
is
some
using
positivity.
The negative one out there.
And if I'm wrong, then we'll delete this.
All right, you heard it from Josh. The Cardinals are going to go 5-1 in the next six games against the Mets. And the
Sonny Gray is going to throw no hitter this year. That's my hot take.
That'd be nice. I'm here for it. I thought Carlos was going to do one. I thought Michaelis was going to do one. Ugh. All right. Anyways,
we thought Michael Walker was going to do one.
Ugh. Guys, it never turned out. Anyways, 5-1 against the Mets and the Tigers. Which game are they losing, against the Mets or is it the Tigers?
The Mets. Not probably Jack, the first game.
Not Jack Flaherty.
No, that would suck. Hopefully not with his near 5 ERA.
Okay, so we're going to lose one in the first game tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Miles
yes.
versus the guy that has a 1.6 ERA.
Unless the offense decides to score 10 runs.
Against the guy with 1.6
right.
ERA.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Josh says 5-1. I have them at, what did I say?
You said 4-2.
4-2. 4-2 in the next six. The plan is to see you next Thursday or Wednesday evening, one of the two, to do it all over again. I'm efforting to get Braden STL, who's famous on Instagram. He's a food guy. He did some parts on Instagram on Busch Stadium's food, but he also is a St. Louis food guy. So
we've tried some of that new food.
We have. And so I thought about bringing him on. I messaged him. He said he would come on. So he asked, what are we doing? What's our schedule for next week? So maybe we can effort to get him on. I've been communicating with Mr. Jeremy Hazelbaker as well.
Nice.
And he has talked about joining us if he can fit time in his busy schedule of teaching young men how to hit. So trying to fit him in as well. So yeah, the plan is to see you in 1 week from now. Follow us on Twitter at That's a Winner Pod. Follow us on all places you find any social media types, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. We're on all those places. That's a Winner Podcast. Be sure to buy our t-shirt on Breaking Tee. Find us on the links. You can find it there. You can also buy any of the t-shirts through Breaking Tee on our link to give us a little money back to help us fund this great, awesome show. We had about 5,000 live streams last week or 2 weeks ago. I will hopefully see the numbers are similar this week. We appreciate it. Appreciate Chris and Cardinals Nation 24/7 as well for pushing our everything to them to help boost up some of these views. We really appreciate it. Our goal is to one day be live at Ballpark Village opening day. That's my goal. I don't know if Josh will be there, if that's his goal or not.
Yeah. I'll be there with a beer in hand.
Yeah, to be able to just go live and enjoy Cardinals baseball in a different way, from fans with a different take. Not to be super positive, which I am usually, and not to be super negative. We're kind of the counterintuitive.
The yin
and the yang. All right. I'm Ryan. That's Josh. And this has been That's a Winner Podcast.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals. Smith corks one in the right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 on a home run by the Wizard. Go crazy. Swinging a long one into left field. Adios. Goodbye. And maybe that's the winner. A three-run homer by Clark. And the Cardinals lead by the score of 7-5. And they may go to the World Series on that one, folks.
What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.